Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and
good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. All right, it's 6:03 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Port Mansfield now, and let's check in with our good friend, Captain Rihanna De La Cruz. Rihanna, good morning. What's up?
Good morning, Mickey.
I know we don't have long this morning. You got to leave the dock here pretty soon, but how's things going way?
Man, you know, fishing was, I'll be honest, fishing was a little tough this week.
Was it?
You know, we've got, it's always around the full moon, it's the bite's always a little tougher. It was slow in the mornings, but we still managed to pull in some decent fish throughout the day. But yeah, I don't, you know what, if I get calls for trips during a full moon, it's hard to turn it down, but I'm always like, I always tell my guys, I'm like, look, you know, in all the times that I've fished on a full moon, it's always been, you know, the bite's always been a little weird, a little off, you know. They're already flicking first thing in the morning when you're heading out, early in the morning during the early major. So between that early morning major and the late, you know, minor, it's always a little tough. Not only that, but the wind. I don't know if it's the same for y'all, but the wind is, like, non-existent in the morning.
It's been calm. Yes.
It's been just absolutely calm in the mornings. And so it doesn't, you know, that also has a really big factor in,
see, that,
you know,
that hurts you guys down there, you know, the calm.
It does.
Up here, we pray for that because we have so many open water schools, you know, deep water schools in the summer where we can target those fish. But down your way, it kills a bite. I love fishing down there, but. You know, I hate fighting the wind, but the fishing's always better when you got some wind, man.
It is. And yesterday, the wind picked up later, right before noon. It was probably around 12:15.
Right.
And the wind picked up, I don't know, maybe 8 to 10 miles an hour. And it was just a perfect little breeze. And the bite turned on. Of course, that was right during the minor, so it, you know, we had to kind of wait later in the morning for that little bite. You know, we were catching fish throughout the morning, but man, we were working and dusting it off bottom trying to get a reaction bite, you know.
Right.
So they were swiping at top waters. All those trout were foul hooked, every single one of them. So you know, if you catch a 15-inch trout, it's pulling like a 20.
Yeah, my God, it's like, man, foul hooked. I know.
Yeah, when they're foul hooked like that, man, they just have a little extra RPM.
So, yeah, you don't have any control over them. You can't turn their head.
No, yeah. So you know, that was always exciting, but then you pull it in, it's like, oh man, it's a little one. It's a little one again. But they weren't fully committing to the bite this week, and it's, you know, typically what I've seen, around a full moon pattern, throwing artificial early in the mornings, the bite's always, it's always, you know, either it could be an absolutely spectacular day, or it's one of those days where they're side swiping it, foul hook, you know, you've got to work a little bit more harder for a bite. You know, you're throwing tails, and you're downsizing to the small little johns early in the morning, dusting it off bottom, trying to just get a little reaction bite.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it was for the last couple of days here in Port Mansfield. But golly, you know, this time of year too, we've got tournaments every weekend.
Right.
So yesterday there was Friday start. It usually starts Thursday when everybody starts rolling in, and you know, a lot of pressure starts, you know, around Thursday and Friday, Saturday. Yesterday was just unbelievable. Boat on the west shoreline, there was a boat probably every 500 to 700 yards, and most of them were waiting, so they were already out of their boat, you know, 100 yards, 150 mm-hmm. yards away from their boat. So you know, always trying to find an area to where you're not in somebody's way, or
yeah, you don't want to cut anybody off, cut their weight off.
No.
I know it gets difficult.
Yeah, I got cut off yesterday. I was like, you know, and my guys were real upset about it. And I was like, look, you know, either one, they don't really know what they're doing. Two, I mean, they just, you know, it is what it is. I said, look, just let them go. You know, they're gonna do whatever they want to do. There's plenty of other places to fish. So, you know, it's more prominent down here just because of the amount of pressure. But it's just something you learn to deal with and work around. And, you know, you can always work around all those things. Life goes on. I had a husband and wife yesterday, and the husband got out. He was like, I mean, ready to fight. And the wife was like, calm down. Like, that's almost like there was water off the duck's back. We'll just keep going.
We've all been there, man.
This weekend's been fun. I always love a challenge. You know, you learn days like these when the bite's tough, you end up learning a lot more. You see, you're looking harder. You're trying a little bit harder. You're fishing more. I mean, I always fish deliberately, but you're fishing a little extra, a little more deliberately during tough bites like this. And so, some of my clients, they're like, man, you know, what do you do when the bite just dies like that? I'm like, well, just all you can do is grind it out.
That's
all you can do. Grind it out, you know.
That's it.
And in all the places we went to, the water was boiling. And I mean boiling with bait. There was redfish tailing. There were black. We came up on a school of black drum. They had their heads down. They were tailing. We caught one of those on a little john, believe it or not. Usually black drum are a little hard to trick with plastics, I found. You got to almost throw a little sartreuse, what is it called, those gulps, those nasty smelling gulps on just a jig head and just jerk it right in front of them, and they might nudge at it. But, man, this drum was, he was hungry.
those little johns smell good to him. It's got a secret fish catching scent in it that, hey, I can't question it. Fish like it. They really do.
Yeah, that's
why a lot of guides. Tommy Alexander, some guides in Matagorda, instead of using shrimp, they'll use a little john under a popping cork and catch fish just like shrimp. It's crazy.
Heck yeah. Yep, that's a good combination to use. If I get clients that want to use a popping cork that are maybe a little bit less experienced, that want something that's a little bit easier, I'll put one of those popping corks with that sartreuse. It's kind of a spinning tail, it's a little tiny sartreuse jig, all sartreuse gulp. Man, it smells horrible, but golly, they catch the crap out of all those fish on that little tiny bait. And it ain't much. I mean, it's probably 2 inches, 2.5 inches long, but it's some magic stuff.
Little twiddle tail.
Yeah. I always keep a little. Oh, I used to always keep a little canister of that on my boat, but I've kind of gotten away from that. You know, those little johns, man. I mean, even I get a lot of anglers too that are maybe a little less experienced, and man, you just put one of those little johns on the end of their line with a leader and loop knot, and I'll tell them, you just got to work it this way, and they do, and boom. I'm like, man, that's real simple. Yeah, it's not that hard. I think a lot of times, and I know I've done it before, you know, overthink things. I'm like, man, I'm probably not doing something right. There's something that I'm missing. There's something that's not right in how I'm working this lure, and
when all else fails, go back to the basics.
Absolutely. Yeah,
we're all guilty of it. We overthink everything and try too much other stuff when we ought to just stick with the basics, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I know I'm really guilty of overthinking
things. Well, we're fishermen. We're suckers, man. We like new stuff.
Oh yeah.
We'll buy anything and try anything.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, I get my clients that come down here, and they're always like, they come next. Always the next time they come around, they're like, look at these new lures we bought. Look at these new lures we found. They'll go to Roy's or Tackle Town or Fish and Tackle Unlimited, and so by like the third or fourth trip that since I've seen them, they have like a whole arsenal. I'm like, man, y'all got all the good stuff. And so, oftentimes, whatever they're throwing with me, or if they notice that I'm throwing something that's working, they'll go and buy a couple of them, and they'll add it to their
arsenal. They're just not
going to
be caught with something that they don't have. You know, they're going to make sure somebody's not going to have something they don't.
Right. So it builds confidence, too.
Yeah, it does.
It builds confidence for them, confidence in that lure or in that jig head or in the leader line or in that top water or that color, the profile. So, next time they come out with me, they're eager. They've got that. I'll get together with my clients the night before, and we'll discuss game plan. We'll talk about lures. We'll talk about the conditions and what we've been catching, blah, blah, blah. And you can always tell that they're always eager to get out there.
Looking
in the morning
for that extra little edge, man. Build that confidence up. I got
you.
All right, Rihanna. Yeah. Well, I know you got to run, and I do too. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and cutting a wade with you, how do they get a hold of you, girl?
Well, my number is 361-296-5400. I primarily wade with artificial only. I've got some days available left this month. So give me a call and let's go fishing.
All right, cool. Well, you have a great day. Be safe and catch them up. Good talking
Thanks,
to you.
Nick.
All right,
you
thank
too.
You.
Bye.
All right, see you. All right, that's Rihanna Dela Cruz down in Port Mansfield. I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers located right at the base of the Texas City Dike. And, folks, if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no farther than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament fish than with the Oxygen Response System. Check them out firsthand at the store. All their different size bottles, all their regulators, diffusers, they refill your bottles there at the store. And if you need more info, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And when you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf seafood. No farm-raised at Boyd's. If you're looking for the big 9-12s or the 15-18-count Gulf shrimp, Boyd's has always got them. Great price, great availability. And check out their Cajun Grill next door. They turn out some really good food there. Check them out at boydsonestop.com, or you can give them a call at 409-945-4001. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
This killing time is killing me. Drinking my supply, thinking I won't see that if I cross that line, they bury me.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. 621 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's run down to Tiki Island. Let's kill a little time with Captain James Plog this morning. Hey, James, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Well, did you pull out in front of a tugboat yesterday?
No, man, I couldn't find one to get in front of. Me and Lee, we're supposed to go play golf up here in Houston, so we just left the house. Let's go hit a golf ball.
There you go. Yeah. You been enjoying the Open?
Well, yeah, I ain't getting to see it today. No, man, I had to do that deal yesterday.
Oh, that's right. You had to take David and them in that tournament. How'd y'all do?
Yeah. Oh, Mickey, I don't know. We couldn't catch a redfish. Same old deal.
Yeah.
But I don't know about that tournament. The rules are stupid. I got so mad. They made up these rules. Well, let's. A 19-inch trout. I said, wait a minute, man. You're in some kind of tournament. You're killing them anyway. I'm going to be penalized for catching the right fish. Hey, I'm throwing it. Look, it ain't like some hero deal, but yeah. I'm catching 20-inch fish, and we're throwing them back. I said, there's your tournament. I said, if you're really in a real tournament, there's your 3 20-inch trout that you can't beat because you can't keep a 21-inch trout. I said, this is stupid. I got mad after that. I just pulled off and fished. I said, man, I ain't. And I told David, I said, I'm not going to sit here and pluck on my fish trying to catch a perfect 19-incher. I mean, I ain't doing that. I mean, I left. You know, we had, 18s, 18 and a half. I mean, it don't make no sense.
Yeah, I know.
It don't make, it should be, if you're going to kill a fish anyway, you kill your three best trout or whatever you're keeping. I don't know what it was. It was three. Or you can have two and a redfish. Same deal. That becomes a redfish tournament.
When the slot limit on trout are 15 to 20 inches, but you got an 8-inch slot on redfish, naturally, you got to have a 27.5, 27 3/4-inch red. You win,
It don't matter how nice
a trout tournament.
It's a redfish. It don't matter how nice a trout I'm setting in. I can catch two 15.5 inchers and go catch me a. Oh, and they changed the slot on the red. It ain't a legal red. I think it's up to 26 inches. So you get penalized again if you go catch a good slot man to weigh in. But I got mad about it. I didn't get mad. I'm like, man, this is stupid. So then I spent the last couple hours trying to catch a redfish, and no, we did not catch one. But, the fishing was actually pretty good, Mickey. We had some little bit of wind behind that storm, and it come kind of a wrong direction. It ended up kind of swinging kind of north, northeast. But, no, we pulled off them fish. Same deal, everything on top waters. A few on jigs with a little bitty light head, but not many. Not many. And then I put Dave and them out, and I went and checked on this other spot, trying to catch a redfish, started catching nice trout. Like, I didn't know there was no trout there. Yeah, I thought there might be little ones. It caught some pretty good fish right there. And then we had a flounder, But if you're going to have a tournament like that, I told him, I said, look at that tournament they have every year in Seabrook at the end of the year. They got some pretty good rules. I mean, it's, you got a trout stringer, then you got a red deal, then you got, a trout, a red, and a flounder. You just got to – if it was a real big-time tournament, real strategy deal yesterday, if I'd have really paid attention to the rules, I'd have just went straight up red fishing first.
Right.
And I ain't catching no reds. Mickey, the ones I drive by every day, you barely put in the back of your truck bed. So
They're longer than your leg, man. I know.
But it was fun. We had a good time. Fishing was actually – I told David, we're probably not going to win. And it's a shame because we're all donkey because we didn't catch a redfish. It was really a good day of fishing. Good topwater bite. It was really good. So
still popping them on tops. That's good.
Yeah, it wasn't bad fishing at all. And then once I found out, I'm gonna sit here and throw away 20 inch fish in this tournament. I left. I worked that anchor up, and man, I'm gone. Well, we need a 19 incher. I said, man, I ain't gonna sit here and try to destroy this school of fish to pluck a 19-incher out of there, They ain't going to do it. We had a good time.
Yeah.
The weather's really nice this morning. I guess they're catching them on the beach, huh? They should be.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, man. That's word
is
out.
Lee Wright's riding with me. You know Lee.
We played golf together one time. Yeah.
Yeah. What'd you catch yesterday?
Fishing 7 to 8 15, and I caught 20 trout and one
lady fish. Legal fish. All legal. Yeah, well, Lee's like me. He don't count, pencils. He caught 20? You didn't even tell me that.
In an hour.
He caught 20 in an hour, 2 to 3 pounders.
Wow.
What'd you catch, Mom?
A white one. PB.
A white little PB?
Little PB.
Yeah. It got right yesterday afternoon, Mickey, after all that storm, all that stuff went away.
Uh-huh.
And actually, I went bike riding because it was so calm, and it got really right. Man, that's pretty good fishing afternoon. So, yeah, the beach is full of fish, man.
Because
Lee's house is right down there. Were they shallow or in there?
No, they were off that second bar. That water had been brown the last 3 days, and it went green. It got a little rougher, and it went green. I just flooded.
Oh, yeah, he said he got
maps and mullet everywhere.
Yeah, it's like old times. That's good fishing. You rock up there in an hour and catch 20 trout.
Saw a lot of rafts and mullet in the surf?
Yeah, a lot of bait. Yeah, the bait's there. Mickey, they open shrimp season up, but I don't know if them whites ever got on the beach. I'm no Mr.
They
Shrimp.
They did. When Hillman was down there for the weekend – before the hurricane, man, them white shrimp were jumping out in the first gut. They were just like crazy, you know, before shrimp season opened.
Yeah, and, but I don't know what happened. I looked at the beach yesterday, Mickey, Friday.
Right.
And I wasn't there opening day, of course. I was working, but I didn't see but like two shrimpers on the beach, and they're not even on the beach.
Yeah, usually, man, they, you know, when it first opens, they're all up and down the beachfront, and, you know, they're dragging in tight, you know.
Dude, I've seen them by the hundreds, well, maybe not hundreds, but 50, 60 boats.
Right.
And they're dragging off the end of the rock groins, man, the big boats. Mm. But so it must have not lasted very long, or they weren't there. And I fished the day before, I tarpon fished the day before shrimp season.
Yeah.
And I, you know, usually day before opener, you know, those boats are staging up. You see a lot of boats moving, you know, mm-hmm. they're getting ready. So I'm pretty sure you can put them out at midnight on the 15th.
Right.
And I didn't see but a couple of boats. And they were tied up. So I don't know what happened. But those guys are good, Mickey. They're like us fishing. They know what to do and what's going on.
Right.
So them whiteys may have blasted. You know how fast they move through there? Well, that never lasts very long anyway. Maybe, what, 4 or 5 days, and then those boats fade.
Right.
So, but, man, a lot of good reports. He think about, here's the difference. We talked about this back in, like, the springtime. I saw stuff I hadn't seen in a long time, like cabbage heads. You know, we see cabbage heads no more, and some Portuguese and some sargasm weed stuff. You know, the beachfront really last year sucked. There was a few guys catching them on structure.
The last couple of years have been real off for the beachfront. I mean, all the way down the coast. You know, even Cliff down there where he's at, he had a couple off years, but it's back this year.
It's back, man. They're stroking them. I know, you know, several of my customers live on the Bolivar beachfront.
Right.
Stroking them. Lee's right there where he's at, stroking them. Then some boys that fish with me to the Jennings brothers, I don't know where they're fishing, but they're stroking them. Cameron went twice and crushed them both days.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the Hammer said they crushed them over the Freeport side yesterday, too.
Yeah, so it's, you know, but we've had some good weather. Like Lee said, it got a little bumpy from them storms that day. I guess it made that water a little brown. And you know how it gets. First day it gets just trout green, it gets good, as long as it don't get too clear.
Yeah, usually when that surf gets real, real clear, after about 2 days of that, then that's when live bait takes over. It's hard to catch them on plugs.
Yeah, look, it gets too clear. But I just looked at the long range, and starting maybe Tuesday, it ain't nothing, just stupid, but it ain't no good. 2-3 foot, 14, 16 knots, one day's, like 15. I mean, I don't see it getting friendly again. Now, look, it's 16 days out on buoy weather, but I don't think it gets friendly again until, like, August the 2nd.
Man.
So this was the run. This was it, which kind of bad for me because I'm supposed to go to the Gulf, and, you know, what am I going to do? I mean, if I had them, I ain't been enough, you know. I ain't been but one time, so I ain't really got nothing, but I'll figure it out, but 2 to 3 foot.
You
know, if you got those fish, you know where they're at, and the water stays green, you know, just suck it up. Go out there, and you can catch one. But, you know, try to go drive around out there and find them when it's rough. You're just trying to get lucky.
Boy, it makes it tough. That's hard. That's hard on you.
It's tough, buddy. But, man, everything's been – man, how about Larry? I mean, we're supposed to be talking about fishing, but how about old Larry? I don't like when I got home, finally got through. It's like 2 o'clock. It was right when it was fixing to end, like 2:30. Mm-hmm. And the rain had just quit. But when I first walked in, I had to go back downstairs and wash my boat. It was raining and it was nasty. And everybody's got their hats on backwards and stuff.
You there?
Yeah. I may have went in a dead zone right there, but no, when that was pouring down rain, I don't like watching golf like that.
That's that hardcore, you know, that's kind of reminds you of remember that great golf movie, Greatest Game Ever Played, when Francis Ouimet won the U.S. Open as an amateur and a rookie. That was That was some miserable weather up there in Boston that he played in.
It was raining like that.
Oh, yeah, it was nasty. They played through it. I mean, kind of like Caddyshack, a frog strangler.
Hey, when you suck like me, it really makes it worse when it's
raining. Hands get hold and it's cold, and you miss hit one a little bit, hit a little fat, and it stings like crazy.
Yeah, it's kind of like. I play golf because it's fun.
Yeah,
I ain't even get paid to be out there and be miserable. If I'm gonna be miserable, I'm gonna get paid for it.
You got that right. Those guys get paid well. Boy, poor old Scotty, man. He bogeyed 16 and 17. I think he turned around and birdied 18, if I'm not mistaken. But he's, he was sitting in a really good position. If he could have held on and not bogeyed those two holes, he'd be right there in it this morning.
But he's still only, what, two back, Mickey? That's it?
Yeah, something like that. But, man, it's so hard to make up two and three shots on that course with the conditions the way they are, unless he just absolutely goes crazy, comes out of the gate like a racehorse today. I mean, he's still in it, basically.
Yeah, old Nasty McKinley said that the weather was supposed to be nice today. I don't know what nice is for over there, but ain't that what he said?
Well, I was watching it earlier till they cut it off on USA, and I don't have Peacock here in my studio, so I can't. I'll continue to watch it when I get home morning. But
yeah, here's what
the weather looked better.
Yeah, it comes on regular channel 2. It started at 6. It's
yeah, I don't right have now. Local. I don't have local channels here in my studio. So
gotcha. Hey, just tell 16. We got to wrap it on up, boys. Punch in some best of. I gotta go, man.
I don't think that'd fly too good. You got time to hold on fired. For some more conversation?
Yeah, me and Lee just driving up there. We're going to Wildcat. I ain't never been
Wildcat.
There in my life.
I never played Wildcat.
Me either. Yeah, we're still here.
All right, hold on. I'll be right back, buddy. All right, you're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
When the sun goes down on my side of town, that lonesome feeling comes to my door, and the whole world turns.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 640 here in the Bayou City. All right, James.
Yo, go ahead.
Go ahead on with it. Come on with it.
Go ahead. Hey, so I talked to Cameron. That was the most money ever in that tournament. And
you said, what, there was over $1 million in it or something?
No, I mean, it was right at a meal. Right, it was like 900 and some change.
Okay, well, I'll call that a meal.
So they win the daily on Saturday, which was one of the
white marlin.
Yeah, the last whitey they caught gave them enough points to win the daily. Cameron said he hooked that fish in the dark. There's two fish. They don't know it. There's two fish, and I think the left long goes off, and Matt gets him. It's dark, and then
the what? He faded out. He is running across. There you go. You came back. You faded out. You said the left long went off, and then what?
Yeah, the left long went off, and it's dark. But Cameron said, man, I'm pretty sure it's a marlin. And on the teaser, while they're backing up, is another white marlin trying to eat the teaser.
Dang.
And so Cameron said, yeah, it's a whitey. And if they could have got a pitch bait, a little pitch bait, but it's dark, man. He said it's like 8:45.
Right.
And if they could have got a pitch bait and caught that other little white marlin, that one fish cost them about $60,000.
Oh, man.
But they had a good – they did really well. They ended up fourth. I mean, that's all the big boys down there in Port Aransas right now. That's the who's who. And ended up fourth, which you get you a cup of coffee and a couple of quarters. You ain't getting nothing. But they won the daily. I think the whole deal, he texted me, they hit them for like 75 Gs. So it'll buy a little fuel.
Right. Promise you.
So the fishing was really good. I think they, you know, I think they had 10 or 11 billfish. But he said the guys did real, you know, Dave McKayla fishes with them. He said the guys did real good. They caught pretty much what they saw. They parted the line on one that kind of cost them, and Cameron said he missed one himself. But, yeah, the weather was super nice, really good tournament.
Awesome.
And then I think maybe Wednesday or Tuesday they take the boat to Port O'Connor. It's the Lone Star Shootout is this coming weekend. But this one ain't going to be real nice. This one's going to be, you have to put your sea legs on for this one.
Yeah, it's looking that way. Man, I'm just looking. I mean, there's no, the extended forecast is just bleak. Look at all the rain.
Yeah, that's what
my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah, squalls. That was a pretty good bunch of squalls when I was talking to you yesterday morning. But they faded, and it just switched that wind around. It kind of messed everything up. I mean, now I got a wind I haven't had. I think it come around almost like the
always. It's tournament time. Always.
Oh yeah, you know it's nasty. but man, overall, bro, you know what? You fished with me, and we were just piddling. You know, just piddling around that day. There's a lot of fish. I mean, we ain't got no real. Hey, I did lose a fish. It is my fault. I think Tuesday. I mean, it's a 5-pound fish, and it's my fault. I put a little black, for some reason, I put a little black spook on. I told you this, I think. Anyway, the points were good, but the hooks were rusted from this winter, you know, around the eye of the hook.
Yeah.
And he took my whole hook, but I saw the fish, and I told Sam, I said, hey, man, that's a real one. That fish there is about 5 pounds.
Yeah, that's a good one. We used to have those on every street corner. Remember, we caught those all the time. And then, hopefully we'll get there, you know?
Hey, it's coming, bro. I mean, the size of the fish and behind the let's just call them the 17 to 21 inch trout, there's a whole bunch of them. But underneath them,
oh, there's just worlds,
billions
of pencils.
Billions,
man,
of pencils, too, Mickey. So we got a crop coming.
Last year we had a good saline year. You know, we didn't have as much fresh water, and we got a good spawn off last year, big time. And all that's going to do is help. Now, I don't know about this year how good the spawn's going to turn out because of all the freshness, but looks like there's a lot of recruits coming up the ladder.
Man, I'm telling you, just like that day, you know, you went with me. I mean, man, how many little, I mean, we caught some trout that were.
You caught one that wasn't even 5 inches long. I said, man, that thing was spawned this spring.
Ain't that the truth, buddy? And it ain't just what I'm doing. It's, you know, it's everybody we talk to. There's little trouts. That one day I had Rick Crosby and them. If you would have just wanted to catch pencils, I promise you we could have caught 500 of them.
You'd been in Louisiana, you'd have been in heaven, brother.
Oh, bro, man, I'd have been over there at Bill Watkins. I'd have had to buy some more coolers.
Get some more playmates.
Yeah, ain't that the truth? Hey, but what I was telling you about that kingfish deal.
Yeah.
I saw all of this happen. So this is the year of Katrina, because I had my barge there.
Right.
So we're at Northeast Pass, and I keep seeing these two boats out there. I don't know what they're doing. They're just trolling around out there. I mean, we're tarpon fishing. But they were there every day. And I asked somebody, I said, hey, man, what are them guys doing? I said, man, them guys are from Florida. Because I was staying at Venice Marina then. That's where my barge was at. And they were commercial kingfishermen. Well, hell, I didn't know there was no commercial kingfishing. I don't know.
Yeah.
Dude, after 2 years, it went from those two boats to where not at Venice Marina, but at Cypress Cove, most of the last three docks were all commercial kingfish boats. They put a commercial plant, not a processing plant, but right across from my barge with a big freezer deal. And I'm watching these 18-wheelers. And I'm watching these 18-wheelers loading up these kingfish, Mickey. They're hauling them out of there in 18-wheeler loads.
My gosh.
And I thought to myself, my gosh, this ain't good. Well, you know, however long Katrina's been, and it's took them that long to wipe. They wiped the kingfish population out because I think everything goes eventually.
Everything migrates through that area through Venice over there, man.
100%. You can ask Jeff Coat about this when you talk to him. I don't know if the guys are still there or not anymore, but I ain't never seen that like it. And when I'm talking about that 18-wheeler load is full. It's to the top with kingfish. And this went on for some years.
Amazing.
And now you see the results now. You know, nothing can sustain anything like that.
No, you can't. How were they fishing for those? Were they using nets or long lines or what?
No, man, it's kind of like, man, they got like little outriggers, and I think they're fishing like four lines, like little spoons or some kind of stuff they make, and they're just dragging through there and just whacking them, man. It's almost like a rod and reel kind of deal. Almost kind of like, they may have had a bandit snapper fishing, but on like little riggers.
Right.
And they were little commercial boats. I'd go in there and look at their operation and a couple of guys, but I ain't never seen nothing like it. And I thought to myself then, I said, man, nothing can sustain this. Especially when it went from two boats to, let's just say, 20 and then 30 that are all doing it. And downtown Leard. Yeah, so anyway, when y'all were talking about that first thing come to my mind. I don't really care about a kingfish, but I get it. I mean, it's good for people to catch.
Yeah, but people love catching them, man. I remember when I'd run offshore trips, I mean, that light tackling kingfish, that was the bonus deal. You know, people love that.
It's fun, man. People
love it. Get their old meat, their snapper, maybe a ling or two, and some dolphin. And, man, we'd pull up behind shrimp boats that were tied up. And you'd pull up to the back of them and start drifting backwards off of them, and you'd catch them for 2 miles. Every ice fish that hit the water went off. You know, it was crazy.
Had a kingfish. We used to catch limits of kingfish when I fished with bait, you know, tarpon fishing.
Yeah,
we used to
right
catch,
off the beachfront.
I catch limits of kingfish. Go this way. I can go either way.
You know, we had years, you know, back when I used to fish surf a lot when I was young, and somebody would always hook a kingfish and it'd spool them, you know, with their trout rod with a spoon or something or a mirror lure while they were trout fishing.
Exactly.
You know, I could pick all up and down the beachfront.
I couldn't tell you the last time I caught a kingfish on the beach. Now, granted, I don't fish with bait anymore, but still, as much as we're out there, as much as we drag around,
you can see them jumping out of the water. You know how they like to launch, you know, when they're feeding. They'll come out of the water 10, 12 feet in the air.
Yeah, but they like northeast pass. That's where those guys like to go, northeast and southeast. Ask Jeff Coat. He'll tell you all that stuff. Northeast and southeast, because it gets deep real fast right there. So that's kind of sad on the kingfish deal. But it all goes back to commercial fishing. You got two or three commercial fishermen, and it's fine. I mean, you can sustain. It's just like the gill netters. We had just a handful. It was okay. Now when everybody turns into a netter, now that's too many.
Right. Well, we saw that over the years, too, all that develop and transpire. And
ain't that the truth?
We just had so many trout back then, they couldn't even knock a dent in them. I mean, look what they did to the redfish up there at the river mouth all those years.
Oh, ain't that the truth?
Remember when Brister did that big article that time and where they'd confiscate all those nets and then pile them up and burn them and everything? It was just... millions of redfish caught like that. And
man, they wouldn't want them. I don't think they got nets to hold them redfish now.
No, they better have some heavy duty nets they can hold them reds. If we got up there now, they'd destroy them nets like the bull sharks did. You know, that was a big deal back then. The bull sharks would, schools of them would hit those nets and just destroy all those netters' nets like that with bulls. And
anywhere there's in redfish, especially, you know, we get on the beach when I used to, you know, fish out there in June a lot.
Right.
In June, there'd be big schools of bull reds and jacks. Everything was together. Always bull sharks with them reds.
Oh, yeah.
And even like last year, them schools, big giant schools of redfish, all of them had bull sharks in them. Not blacktails, bull sharks.
Yeah. for whatever reason, those bulls love big trout and big redfish.
They do. We had a little old trout get ate by shark, I guess Monday or whatever day it was. Little bitty old fish. That guy reels him in. His old head, nothing but a head, and his little old mouth was still moving. Man, he had a bad
and the bladder still hanging out of his head. Isn't that something? They can bite through all that, but they can't bite through and pull that bladder off.
That bladder's unbelievable. And then, finally, the shark come up by the boat. It was about, he wasn't 5 foot, but he wasn't far from it. And I guess he just ate something right there. But, you know, wherever them trout are at, there's either going to be some sharks right now.
Oh, yeah. That, boy, at 1 year we had, several years back, where Elise was stacked up with all them big trout in it. And I had old George Young, old Mud Minnow George, and Raphael and John, and we're catching some big ones. And I get this one big trout on, and I said, yeah. And Raphael goes, I'll net it for you. I said, no. And so he took the net out of my hand, so I turned that big old trout around. We're going to lead his head into the net. This bull shark came out from under the boat and ate that fish and threw water all over us. I thought it was going to come over the side of the boat and get in the boat with us. It was about a 7-footer. I mean, he had a head on him like a house cat.
And they like them big trout. Them bull sharks almost won't fool with them little trout.
No, you get a big one on, they're coming to get him, man. They want to get a lot of bang for their buck, you know.
Yeah, they don't want to have to go chase no pencils to get no big meal.
I said, buddy, when you got sharks hiding under your boat when you're on a school of trout, you're in them, buddy. We're anchored up. We're just knocking the fire out of them. That big bull shark was just sitting there idling under my boat waiting for the right meal.
Crazy. Waiting for the right one. What old bay's shaping up, man. It looks like
it
the
is.
Water's
getting, a little
there.
Color up my way. It's still brown, but, I mean, you can see that hue in it, you know, where it's turning over and getting better. So
it just don't smell just pure fresh no more, huh?
No, you get a little bit. Oh, and when I rode that hurricane out, I got the biggest smell of fish for about 30 seconds when I was sitting out on my patio watching this storm. You could smell it coming off the bay. It was just like one big giant slick. And then it went away.
But they might be coming home, man.
I said, look at there, man. Come to daddy. I'm ready. I'm not going to speak too soon because I will get another flood or something. But I'm just I'm going to bear my time. All right, James. Well, hey, bud, y'all have fun. You and Lee hit them straight. But somebody wants to call you about coming down and catching them straight. How they get a hold of you?
All right, buddy. Appreciate it. 409-771-7306.
Yeah, you boys watch how you're casting. You got a little hook in that cast, a little slice in it. Throw it straight.
A little slice in it.
That's it, brother. Right, hey, James, have a good Sunday. I'll talk to you later in the week, man.
Appreciate it, man. Thanks for everything.
Later, buddy.
See you. Bye.
All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back Thursday morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610, KILT Houston.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!